Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message.
So I have this encouragement. I don't really know if it's just this encouragement as it is a different view or perspective for us to look at what is going on right now, as well as what I believe God is saying to us as a church. And I feel what he is saying to us as a body collectively joined together, not just us locally, but I believe this is what is happening around all of us. And those of you who are streaming and you're in right now, you know we make a confession every single week, and I want you to make that same confession while you're at home. You can go ahead and grab your phones. If you're looking at your phone, grab a Bible that you haven't picked up in a long time, or grab another device. But we pick up our phones and whatever we got, our iPads or your Bibles, and let's say it together on the count of three. Y'all ready? Let's say it together. Our confession. This is our confession. We do it every week. One, two, three. This is God's word for my life. I read it, receive it, understand it, and love it. I am so glad I have what I need to grow. And if there's ever a time we are in right now, you'll be thankful that you have exactly what you need to grow. Acts 8 chapter verse 26 through 31, and begin at 26, says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians." And that Candace is not necessarily talking about a person named Candace, but that was basically the name of high officials, high ranking queens, just like we would reference some people as Caesar or Pharaoh. Candace was that particular title for that area, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem, that eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. In 29 says, "And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up, and he sat with him." This eunuch didn't know what he was reading. He didn't understand where he was. He didn't understand what was going on. But at an invitation from someone who did not understand to Philip, he said, "Can you come up here and explain to me what it is I'm reading?" And I want to talk to you today. And I've never thought that I would call it this, but I believe that we're in a place now where we are now introducing the real church. Where many of us right now, we are at a state where the real church is being reintroduced. And I want to say that it's not that we have not been the real church. I'm not saying that, and I don't want anyone to abruptly cut this off as a throw off to who we are and what it is that we have done. Even as our local church, Growth Point Family, it's not that we've been playing games or not being the authentic church. But I feel like we are now in a season that when you take all the field seats and field buildings away, and you take all of the touch your neighbor and say these different things away, who are we without all of that? Are we authentically representing the body of Jesus Christ? And in this particular scripture that we are reading today and that we're coming from, I think about how even in the verses leading up to this, we find that there were some disciples who were going, and they were doing great ministry, and people were receiving the Holy Ghost, and all different types of things were happening. And there was even one, Simon, who was trying to follow them, and when when he followed them, he was so enamored by what God was doing and the ministry that was happening through these disciples that he wanted to see if he could get a piece of it by buying it. And he said, if I can, how much would it cost for me to be able to have what you have? And they responded to him. They said that this thing that we have cannot be bought with money. This is something that was bought by the Lamb of God. This is something that is a price that was paid, a debt that we owed that we couldn't even pay, but it was paid through Jesus Christ. And he was able to not experience something that is authentic through paying for it. And I believe that there are a lot of us who have tried to finagle our ways into something authentic by trying to mimic it or trying to think that we become it just by being around it. But now we're in a season and a time that no one has anything else to do but be at home or to be quarantined in some way. And now we're looking through this lens of what was really real about some of the things that we were doing, and how authentic were we and how effective were we. And actually many leaders are, we're questioning, we're actually going back, and many of us are going back to the basic of things. For those people who are even those of us, even like myself, who are ministering in situations where there might not be anybody in the room, but we still got the word deep inside of us to really make sure that what we have and what we're called to is not based on packed auditoriums and packed rooms, but it's based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here, as these wonderful things were happening and great miracles were happening and great ministry was happening, and in the midst of this, Philip was even a part of this great ministry that was happening. Philip was a part of thousands of people getting saved. And basically, if you could imagine a big crusade, or imagine a big auditorium, or imagine a baseball field, baseball stadium of people filled, getting the power of God revealed to them and hearing the gospel and turning their life to Jesus Christ and seeing that was the type of atmosphere that was going on. Everywhere they went, great things were happening. And in the midst of the great things that were happening, and in the midst of the great things that were going on, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord revealed himself to Philip, and he said to him, he said, rise up. He said, go towards the south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He says, I want you to move from the place where everything is going on, and I want you to move to a place that it will seem like nothing is going on. He said, I want you to move basically from all of this stuff that you see, this wonderful, all these different people that are being affected and changed, and all these wonderful things that are happening. It's great, and it is ministry, and it is wonderful. But I'm saying, I want you to not get so caught up in that for a second, and I want to make sure that you move, and I want you to move and go down south. And when you go down south, I want you to go to a room, to a road that leads from Jerusalem to the holy place, to Gaza, which is going to be a place, a desert place, a place that you would not normally go to, because most people don't leave great things and go to a thing that they're not sure of. But here it is that we learn when we're really, really reintroducing the real church, what the real church does. The first thing, if we're really the real church, and this is what I feel like we're seeing right now, is that we respond to assignments more than invitations. He did not state, and when I say invitations, a lot of us are invited to a lot of different places, and a lot of us want to go to many different things because it's nice, or it's a place where everybody's at, or it's a spot that everybody wants to go, or what's that song we used to sing in Cheers, that everybody wants to go to a place where everybody knows your name, and we want to make sure that we want to be included. A lot of us want to be included, so we respond to every invitation because we have FOMO, we have this fear of missing out. I don't want to miss out on anything. And here in this particular instance, and Philip and other disciples were out there being used, and they were ministering, and they were excited about all the different things that were going. But all of a sudden, in the midst of where everything was going on, he felt a tug, and he felt a pull, and there was an assignment that was drawing him, and there was an assignment that was calling him, and calling him from the crowd, calling him from the great things that were going on, calling him from things that were usual, causing him to go to an assignment, and his assignment led him to a desert. And the question is, for many of us right now, while we're being reintroduced all over the world and while many people are watching us, will we respond to the assignment that God has on our life, or will we keep settling for invitations? Invitations meaning I'm just going where I'm invited. I'm going where it's popular. But sometimes assignments will take you to places that are not so popular, and it will cause you to go places where you might not go about getting paid. It's not about that, but it's because I'm assigned to this thing. And that's where Philip was going. He said, I'm going going because I'm assigned. And what Philip teaches us and what we learn is that he was not so attached to his ministry obligations as far as where he was. He says, I'm not so attached to that. I'm not so attached to applause. I'm not so attached to a loud room that I cannot hear when God is pulling me at my assignment. And I want to make sure that all of us, myself included, while we're in this season right now, when you hear something from God and when he starts to pull at you, that you respond to the assignment, even when the assignment doesn't make sense. That's what he told Abraham. He told him, he said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your kindred. And I want you to move into a place that I will show you. And Abraham had to have trust. He had to have faith in order to believe that God would never tell him to go somewhere, that he would not speak to him later about where he was going. I'm telling you right now, you might be in a season where it doesn't make any sense and you don't know exactly where you're going. But I'm telling you, it is better to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You might not understand him, but the safest place in the whole world, that's what Karen Clark said, is in the will of God. Make sure that no matter what you do, that you are always on assignment from the Lord, and that you're not just doing things just to be doing things. But Philip said, I'm only in the desert, not because I'm looking for a desert to go to. I'm not just here because I want to be here. I'm here because I'm on assignment. And when you're on assignment from something, you can withstand things that no one else can withstand. You can go through things that no one else can go through. You can be able to conquer things that no one else can conquer. Because your assignment gave you authority. Your assignment gave you anointing. There are some things when you're on assignment, you are anointed for things that other people will crumble through. But when you have an assignment on your life, you have to look at yourself now and say, I've got an assignment. Look at yourself no matter where you are. You can't touch nobody. But look at yourself and say, I'm on assignment. That is the reason that you have not died yet. That's the reason that life has not thrown you off completely yet. Doesn't mean that some things have not thrown you off temporarily. But it's not throwing you off completely because you have an assignment. And Philip said, I've got an assignment. That was great. I'm grateful for the people that were healed. I'm grateful for the people that were restored. I'm grateful for the lives that were changed. But my assignment has shifted. That there's a shift that's now moving me from this crowd and it's calling me to move to the desert. When he got to the desert, it says in verse 27, it says he rose and he went, which is very important when you get an assignment, that you do it without haste, that you don't wait on it, that you don't sit there and try to get someone else to their opinion about it, because sometimes other people's opinions will talk you out of your assignment. But he rose and he went, verse 27, and it says, and there, when he got there, he saw that there was a eunuch, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch. It was a person who was over the treasury, or he was someone who was over the money. He was someone who had came, and he came to Jerusalem to worship. And this is what is very important, because when this eunuch, those of us who know according to how eunuchs are designed, and eunuchs are not, when I say designed, they are human, but I'm talking about from the sense of eunuchs are usually castrated. Castrated means that usually their parts, their organs that are important to most reproduction systems were cut off and were not there, and they were not able to produce or to be able to have reproduction in their life. And these eunuchs were usually, because they weren't able to reproduce, they weren't able to use their organs that they would normally use for other things. They were now able to be put into high positions. And the reason that they were put into high positions is because they had no other distractions. They were not pulled into any other thing. And many times they were loyal. And they were loyal because they couldn't produce anywhere else. So because they couldn't produce outside of themselves, they were always placed in high positions so that they could be able to serve at will. They were not interested in anything else because they didn't have anything else to attach to. So they were always in position to be able to be assigned over treasuries or over money or anything like that. Now, all eunuchs were not always those who were castrated. Now, some of them were just completely loyal. But we do believe that this particular eunuch was one who was castrated and he was not able to do anything else. you have to be very discerning to be able to look through the lens of people who are not able to do anything else for themselves, but they are just positioned in a way to always be expendable to someone else, but they're not able to produce anything themselves. And you have to look behind smiles, and you have to look behind people's social media posts, and you have to look behind filters to see how people really are underneath it. Because some people will go through the routine of always serving, always doing different things, always being positioned, but they're really inwardly frustrated, because they can't do anything or produce anything themselves. And here this eunuch was so loyal that he couldn't do anything outside of what he was assigned to, but he went to Jerusalem. He came to Jerusalem, and according to the scripture, we find out that he was there for the Feast of Pentecost. He was there for Pentecost was being celebrated, and he was there during that time. And it says that while he was there, when he was driving back and when he was riding back in his chariot, something gripped him, which is to say that he basically, in essence, he went to a church service, or he went to a place of public worship, and when everybody was there, something gripped him, and something gripped him when he left the building, when he left the church function. And something gripped him so that it wasn't just what he saw there, but when he left, whatever he saw, whatever he experienced gripped him. So now he's leaving there thinking about what he experienced. And now he's out there thinking about what he's experienced, but he's not really sure about it. And in the midst of this, glory to the Lamb, in the midst of this, he's now riding away. In verse 28, he says he's returning back to Ethiopia. He's returning back where he came. He's sitting in his chair, and he starts to read the prophet Isaiah. I imagine, I don't know, scripture doesn't say it, but I imagine that he was reading or rereading what he had just learned. It's very, very important that those of you who are hearing me right now, and those very important when many of us are not in the physical buildings right now, that you reread some of the things that you've been writing down, that you go back and rehearse some of the things that you've learned, some of the different things we were shouting about a few months ago. You might need to walk it out right now to be able to reread it. So that's what I believe. He doesn't say that, but I just believe in my imagination, in my growth point sanctified imagination, I believe that he was just rereading what he had learned when he was in church. So he's reading Isaiah, and while he's reading it, he says he doesn't really understand what's going on. And in the midst of that, verse 29 says, now the Spirit of the Lord, remember that God had already told the spirit of the angel have already told Philip to get into this place of Gaza, position himself to get there. And it's very important. I know I'm dropping a lot of stuff, but it's very, very important that even when God speaks to you, you have to wait until he gives you the next assignment. Just keep following until he gives you the next thing. The only thing he told him to do was to leave where he was and to get into the place of the desert and get in this particular road. He didn't say anything else, but while he was positioning himself, God was working on the other part of it. So I'm telling you right now, you might not see the end. You might not know what's going on right now. It doesn't make any sense to you right now. And some of you are in the holding pattern. You're just like, I don't know what's going on or what's happening. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, but where I'm supposed to be doesn't seem like it's moving or making any sense. But hold on. There's another thing that's getting ready to be revealed. Because what happens is in verse 29, the Spirit then says to Philip, after he had already worked on the eunuch, he says, I want you to go over and I want you to join the chariot. This is very important. He said, I want you to, you got to the desert. Now you see that chariot that's passing you? He said, there's somebody in there that I need you to minister to. There's somebody in there that I need you to go after. I want you to leave where you are now. You got to leave again. Don't get tied to your location. Anytime he tells you to leave, you got to bounce. You got to do what you got to do. Go ahead and tell yourself, I got to bounce. You don't have to make a lot of announcements to people, but sometimes you got to say, I got to bounce. It's time for me to move into whatever he's telling me to do. So it's time for him to bounce. And verse 29 says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over, join this chariot. So he gets up immediately. He gets up again. And not only did he get up, verse 30 says, he ran to him. He didn't just get up. He ran. He ran with haste. He said, oh, I can't wait to see what God is getting ready to do. I can't wait to see what's getting ready to happen. This is what I believe happened. Scripture doesn't say this, but this is what I believe happened. When you really are reintroducing the real church, and when the real church shows up, that's what I feel. I feel like I got spirit of Eminem is on me. With a real church, please stand up. Please stand up. I feel like the real church is being reintroduced right now. You know what? Nobody's here, so I say to myself, preach, Mario. But here it is. It says in verse 1, it says, respond to the assignment. That's the first thing we got. Respond to the assignment, more the invitation. But the second thing I find out when you're really reintroducing the church is you find out that the real church cares less about seats and more about souls. When the real church stands up, glory to the Lamb, when the real church comes up, when the real church starts to be reintroduced, you will do whatever you got to do. You won't care about any seats. That's what we've been concerned about, all of us, with all we talk about, and most of us, all of us were posting and talking all the time about our seats and talking about our attendance and how many people came and where were the people at and what a great time we had, and we were reposting our shout breaks and reposting our praise breaks, and now none of us are reposting anything about praise breaks, and we're not posting anything about a whole bunch of seats and everybody feeling. Now we're talking about souls, and it's about the people, because in the beginning it was always about the people. How do I know this? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, not that he loved the seats, but he always loved the world, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now we're preaching. We're not talking about the seats anymore. Now I'm preaching to your soul. I don't even see you. I don't know what you got on. It's a perfect opportunity for you to lift your hands and have your own praise break, because now you're in your pajamas and now you're in your little tie-dye t-shirt that you've been wearing that you don't want nobody to see, and now you got your hair all over the place. But now it's a perfect opportunity to give God a real praise, because it's not based on filters, and it's not based on makeup, and it's not based on musicians, and it's not based on anything. Now it's based on my soul. It's a witness that he's a wonder to my soul. That's why we say, and that's why we shout, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. When you get in a storm, and when you get in a trial, and when you get in a situation, you'll find out what's really inside of you. And that's what happened with Philip. Glory. That's what happened to Philip. He found out that he was more interested in souls and not interested in crowds and applauses and loud noises and big bangs and all these different things all around that we usually talk about. But here it is. He said he ran because there was somebody who needed Jesus. There was somebody who needed something to be explained to him. There was somebody that needed to fire. He had experienced Pentecost through hearing it. He had experienced Pentecost through experiencing it, as far as being around other people who had experienced it, but he had not gotten it down in his soul. And he was sitting there reading about Isaiah. He was sitting there reading about the gospel, but he didn't understand it. And God told him, he said, rise up. In verse 29, he said, rise up and go over to that Jordan. Go over to that chariot. Excuse me. Go over and join that chariot. In verse 30, it says that Philip ran to him and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And this is what Philip said. This is why you want to know when somebody's really concerned more about souls than concerned about seats. He ran to him, and the first thing he said, he didn't say, who's your pastor? He didn't say, well, do you sing in the choir? He didn't say, do you sing in the worship team? He didn't say, who's your bishop? He didn't say, what denomination are you affiliated with? He didn't say, do you go to a black church or do you go to a white church? Do you do CCM music or do you like Kojic music? You didn't say anything about Azusa, didn't say anything about any of that stuff. The first thing he said to him, glory, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And there is a world right now, and there are people who are sitting there watching me right now, and there are people who are streaming, and there are people who are scrolling down their timelines right now, and they've been to our church services, and they've seen our praise breaks, and they've seen us fall out on the floor, and they have no understanding, and they are confused, and they don't know what's going on. And now the real church has an opportunity to reintroduce yourself and say, it was always about souls. It was never about the seats. And if the seats were filled, the seats were only filled because we were trying to get souls in the seats. We weren't trying to get people in them. We were trying to make sure the souls were populated in heaven and empty in hell. That's what we've always been concerned about. So now it's a perfect opportunity for us to be like Philip, and for us to rise up, and for us to go join somebody's chariot and ask your cousin, ask your uncle, ask Buki, ask somebody, do you understand what you know? Do you understand what I've been talking about? Do you understand the reason why I am the way I am? Do you understand that I'm still speaking in tongues and I ain't even been to church in 2 weeks? Do you understand I'm still praising God and I ain't been to no worship team rehearsal? Do you understand that what I have is real, that this is not something flaky? Do you understand that I'm not perfect, but I'm in progress? Do you understand this thing that I'm not trying to get to you to introduce my pastor? You might not see him. Heck, I ain't seen him in a long time. But do you know I'm trying to get you to Jesus. Tell somebody, tell yourself, I'm trying to get you to Jesus. Do you understand what it is? That's what Philip said. Do you understand what you're reading? I'll shout myself in this room. He said, do you understand what it is that you are reading? And then verse 31, he responds and he says to him, he says, how can I understand it? He said, how can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me? He said, I can't understand it because nobody has stopped having church long enough, glory, to talk to me. Nobody has taken the time. The government had to shut y'all down in order for you to spend time with me and have a conversation with me. You had to get over your little programs just for you to come back and talk to me. You were so focused on the fact that I was smoked out all the time. You were so focused on the fact that I didn't look like somebody that would come to church, that you've never talked to me. So because you've never talked to me, I never understood what you've been about. I always thought you were a fanatic because you never talked to me. But now that you got more time, and now you're FaceTiming me more than you used to, and now you're around me, and now we're playing spades and we ain't cussing each other out. Now that I see that there's something actually real about you, now I've got some questions. Now I do want to have a conversation with you because it's not about you inviting me to your next church attendance. It's not about you inviting me to the next church event. You're actually caring about me, and I do find out, I'm now realizing that I was never a seat. But you only were trying to reach me because you looked at me as a soul. So he invited Philip, glory, he invited Philip to come into the chariot. And when he invited him to come into the chariot, it says that Philip came up to sit with him. And this is what we find out when we really are reintroducing the real church. When you are the real church, you will turn a chariot into a church. Chariot, take a chariot. I know according to this time, it was a chariot. That's how they walked around, and that's how they were transporting themselves, and that's how they got around, because chariots were their mechanism of, there was a vehicle of transportation. But we don't have chariots now. You don't see anybody riding around New Circle Road or on 64 or anybody walking or driving around in chariots. If we did, we would be taking pictures of it, because it's not something that we would see. But now, you might not be riding around in cars right now, but when you're texting somebody, or when you're FaceTiming, or when you're on those thousands of Zoom conference calls that you're on all week, or the conference calls that you're on right now, can you turn that call into a church? Can you turn that FaceTime moment into a church? Can you turn that Uno game? I know you got to draw four out on the table right now, but can you say, before we draw four, can we draw three? One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Can you turn it into an opportunity to be able to say, hey, son, we haven't been able to talk for a minute. Hey, daughter, we haven't talked for a minute, but can I tell you, I love you too much for you to die like this. I love you too much for me not to tell you that you need Jesus. I love you too much for me not to tell you we're going to have to squash this little thing we got going on between us. We're going to have to squash this thing because we don't know how long this is going to last, but I don't want this thing that's going on nationally to become an epidemic between us and our family. I don't want to become an epidemic or a pandemic when it comes to our community or when it comes to our generation. We got to shake this thing, and we got to cut this thing off. Let's turn this crisis into a Christ moment. Let's turn this crisis into an opportunity for Jesus to get into it. That's what Philip did. He said, oh, you gonna invite me into your chariot? He said, I ain't interested in your money. I just want to get in here so I can introduce Jesus to you, and I want to show you the opportunity for me to be able to minister to you and show you about who Jesus is and what he wants to do in your life. And you have to be able to take opportunities and turn them into moments for Christ. That's what Philip did. And then it says in the scripture, it says that Philip started to share the gospel with him. And Philip started to talk to him about the gospel. And he started to share with him. And the scripture says he was talking about how it was a lamb without, that was led to the slaughter. And it was basically talking about how Jesus was the spotless lamb. And he was led to the slaughter. And he was led to his death. But through his death, he obtained victory. And he goes through and paraphrases him. But he tells that story. And he goes on. And basically, Philip responds, the eunuch responds to him. He says, wait a minute. I understand what you're saying. This Jesus and what he did for me. So now you're telling me that's what this Pentecost and this experience and this moment was about the entire time. I get it. I see. He said, but I want to confess it. I believe it. I believe that this thing is real. I believe I came here out of ritual. I came here just doing it because that's what I was supposed to do, and that's what we do. We obey the customs of the land, and when we come all over the world, and we come to do these different things nationally because everybody does them. But I feel like there's something more that's happening beyond my routine, and I feel like this is not just whatever you've just explained to me. I feel this thing going into my heart, and I feel like something is happening in me that I'm ready to make a decision. And then Philip, the eunuch, all of a sudden, while they were riding, then the eunuch gets so excited. I can imagine the eunuch right now. He got so excited. He said, "Wait a minute, stop the chariot." Can you imagine him? He wouldn't say the chariot now. He would say, "Stop the bus, stop the bus, stop it right now." He says, "Stop it, there's some water." He said, "What's preventing me from getting baptized?" He says, "What's preventing me from getting baptized, right? What's preventing me from making this, from sealing the deal? He said, "I know you're saying, well, let's wait until we get back in church. Let's wait until you finish your new members class. Let's wait until what?" He said, no. He said, "I don't know how much longer we're going to be out of this thing." He said, "What's preventing me from getting baptized right now?" You're saying, well, the pastor's got to baptize you. Says who? Well, we got to make sure that we have on I Believe shirts. Who said that? He said, "You better put your FUBU shirt on right now, fill your bathtub with water, and you better dunk me right now. Do what you got to do because I'm ready to be submerged." And why was that baptism so important? Some of you say, "Oh, it ain't that deep." Yes, it is. He said, "I don't want any trace in my life of what I was. I want you to baptize me right now. I want everything that was on me that represented just my position. I want it all for me, and I want to make sure that I am now coming back up raised in Christ." And that's just what you find out when you are the real church. This is the response of the real church. This is the real response. This is what Philip's response was. Philip not only heard what he said, but he got out of the chair and he said, "You want to get baptized? Well, let's do the daggone thing." This is what you find out what the real church does. The real church, lastly, will adjust from routine programs to real relationship. When you are the real church, and that's what we're trying to be right now in these days, if you're the real church, routine's got to go out the window. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when we come back together as a congregation of people, believers, and we will come back together and we will praise God and we'll shout about how we made it over and put on our robe, tell a story, all that stuff. We're going to come back together. Please know, this whole year is not going to be like that. I want you to know that. Don't even get comfortable and think that this is going to be happening. So go ahead and start getting your hair ready because it's going to happen. We're going to come back together. But let me tell you, if there's anything that has happened for us right now, and I know that many of us don't like this right now. We don't like what it's done to some of our family. We don't like the effects of what it has done. But what I want to tell you, the great thing that it has done for all of us is to make sure that the real church is now adjusting from our routine programs. And we're now saying, what's really real about us? What is really real about this thing? How are we really presenting Jesus to people? Are we really making sure that people are filled with power? Are we making sure that relationships are sustainable? Are we making sure that our teenagers are whole? Are we making sure that our children are okay? Because we've been going through the motion. This person's got to serve here. This person's got to be here. The music's got to be this way. The air conditioner's got to be at a certain tempo. Well, there's nobody here for any of that right now. Now we're trying to make sure, are you really who you say you are? Are you really the real deal? Because there's somebody you're around who needs to be baptized. And I'm not talking about just in water. I'm talking about they need to be baptized in Christ. There's somebody around you who's been watching you and you haven't said anything yet. You have thought, and many of us have thought, this is just a vacation, but this is a perfect opportunity for you to have left everything that was going on, and now you're in the desert, and now that you're in the desert, you don't have any other time but to talk to the eunuchs that have not been able to produce anything in their life right now. And you won't always know eunuchs are eunuchs because they will always make sure that they're serving, but you won't know that underneath their serving, they're actually crying out saying, "I wish I could produce something." But you have to look beyond people's positions and look beyond somebody making sure you got food to make sure, are you okay? Are you all right? Because underneath all that stuff, somebody needs Jesus, and we need more Phillips. And we need more churches who are like Philip. And we need more pastors. And we need more evangelists. And we need more people who are serving. And maybe not just in the church, but people who are out on the front lines. We need more people. We need more people who are in the community. We need more people who are in politics. We need more people who are in the world. We need more people who are business owners to be Philip. To say, no, business may not be going on as usual. Business may not be where it normally was and not where I would like for it to be. But I'm not going to miss this opportunity because there's a eunuch around me. And there's somebody around me. And it's my opportunity to reintroduce myself and say, hello, my name is. Hello, my name is. And I want to reintroduce you to Jesus. Do you know him? Have you heard about him? I know you see me shouting about him. I know that you even heard that I might be temporarily laid off for a second. I know that you even heard that I'm not making ends meet, and I've been calling around to different creditors to see if I can get an extension. But in the midst of the things that you've heard and that you've seen, have you also noticed that I've had peace? Have you also noticed that I hadn't lost my joy? Have you also noticed that every night I'm getting down and I'm still thanking God? And I know you're saying, what are you thanking him for? This is crazy. But have you noticed that in the midst of the craziness that's going on, that craziness has not made me crazy? I want to reintroduce you and Growth Point on our anniversary. What we are doing right now and what is happening all over the world and happening to us right now is we are being reintroduced as the real church. Not just the poppin' church, not just the popular church, but the real church. And I want to pray for all of you who are watching right now and all of you who are streaming and connected. And maybe you were convicted by what I said. I was convicted. I've been convicted myself. I have. Saying how much of what we do is really real. Not saying that it wasn't, but all of us, hear me, all of us can err at some point. And if we're not careful, we'll be over here because it's the applause and over here because of the excitement and having no effectiveness. If there's anything we need to make sure we do for the rest of this year and commit to for the rest of this year, to say, I will commit to being effective. Craig Rochelle says that people would love to follow a leader who's not always right, but always real. And I want you to know, those of you who are listening, the church is not always right. We do make mistakes because we're people. The church is not a building, the church is people. And we might not always do it right, but we sure do always want to be real. If you're listening and you have not given your life to Christ, I want to introduce you to a real Savior, a real Jesus. The Williams brothers wrote a song and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. If you would repeat after me right now and say, hey, something went off in me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that until this point, I wasn't real sure. I wasn't real sure about your people. I wasn't real sure about church. I wasn't real sure about any of it. But what I'm seeing right now is that there's some realness to this. And Lord, if you're real, and if you really died for me, save me. I believe in you. I believe you died that I might have life. You died that I might be saved. You got up that I might have victory. Come into my heart, save me. I make you yours. I'll live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, I believe you got born again. Now, what I want you to do is get you in a good Bible-based church. Now, if you're saying I don't have a church to go to, let me tell you something. None of us have a building to go to right now. But that can't stop you from committing. That cannot stop you from getting plugged in. put a message at the bottom of this live, and we'll reach out to you and make sure you get plugged in. You don't have to connect with us, but we want to make sure you are connected with Jesus. God bless you. I will see you all same time, same place next week. And let me tell you, soon we're going to meet together again. But until then, happy 5th anniversary. I love you. It is my honor to serve you as your pastor. I'm praying for you. Please know I am. Please make sure you go into our groups, join in our Growth Point groups, and we're going to be starting our small groups really soon to make sure that we're even connected in greater ways. God bless you. I'll see you soon. God bless you.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at MyGrowthPoint. Until next time, keep growing.